Welcome to the I Have ADHD podcast, where it's all about education, encouragement, and coaching for adults with ADHD. I'm your host, Kristen Carter, and I have ADHD. Let's chat about the frustrations, humor, and challenges of adulting, relationships, working, and achieving with this neurodevelopmental disorder. I'll help you understand your unique brain, unlock your potential, and move from point A to point B. Hey, what's up? This is Kristen Carter, and you're listening to the I Have ADHD podcast. I am medicated, I am caffeinated, I am regulated, and I'm ready to roll. Can't wait to chat with you today. I have a really special guest. I've been dying to get him on the podcast. We are finally here and ready to chat. Oliver James is here. He is a TikTok sensation, motivational speaker. And in his TikTok videos, Oliver introduces himself by saying, "I'm a 35-year-old man who struggles with reading." However, it wasn't long ago that he would say, "I can't read." He opens up about many deep struggles that he's gone through with learning to read and his mental health. He has ADHD. He has OCD. We're going to get into all of that. His story is inspiring, and he ended up being interviewed on ABC's Good Morning America, The Rachel Ray Show, NPR, and other major outlets. And we get him today. It's so fun. He was also recently featured in People Magazine. In October, he was awarded the 2023 National Literacy Honors Award by the Barbara Bush Foundation for the light that he has shed on being functionally illiterate. When he's not working on reading or speaking, Oliver is tackling another new frontier, which is parenting his son born last January. That's so fun. I'm so excited to chat with you today, Oliver. Thank you so much for being here with me.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So fun. So would you mind just getting us started by sharing your story? So you're 35, you consider yourself, I guess, actually you can tell me, do you still consider yourself functionally illiterate? Or is that something that is a part of your past? Like, where would you say that you are?
I'm right in the core of functionally illiterate. Before I couldn't read. Like, okay. Even though I could read as a person, like, who probably understands, you know, the brain when it comes to differences, you know, if you don't know, like, if no one's taught you, like, hey, you're a reader, you will grow up your entire life, even if you know how to read, not knowing how to read. Like, so even though I knew a few words and stuff, I had no idea what reading was. It was so foreign to me. Like, I did not know anything about it. Now I consider myself a functionally illiterate person because I'm aware of my issue and I'm focused on it. And I understand that I have something that's hindering me from being equal to everyone in the world, but I'm acknowledging it and I'm happy about it. You know what I mean? Like, it's mine. I'm like, no, this is my bad reading and I'm happy about it. Like, it's actually a good thing that part. That's a really, you know, that's a really hard twist in the brain. So I'm a functionally illiterate person probably for like the next 10 years or something. It's going to take a long time, you know, for this thing. If I do make it to that level, you know, we never know. I may always have just a handicap in that part, you know? Yeah.
How is it that you went through the school system and didn't learn to read? How did you get missed?
You know, looking at it now, it's easy because you know how humans deal with things, adults. You know, we run from problems, we just make a bunch of issues, and we think we know what the heck we're doing with everyone in this world. It was a time, you know, it's 90s, everybody's stuck on whatever they're stuck on in that time. No one knows the actual trouble that's going to be in my life. They just kind of guess it. Like, if you don't know how to read, you know, things are going to be hard. Oh, if you don't read, you might not be able to do this. You might not get a job. They just say it. But they've only ever seen it on, like, TV. These teachers never really, you know, they never really experienced the person grow up and be like, look at who I am. That person usually ever, like, is in prison. They're not around anymore. They never show back up. They just kind of fell off the earth. You know, that's usually what happens. You don't hear about them or nothing.
Yeah.
So for me, it's like, I don't explain it. The adults, it's kind of similar to now. We live in a world right now where we can see a lot of things going wrong. A lot of us could sit here and say, that's wrong. Why don't we just not do that? Yeah. It was that.
Yeah.
Did you get what I'm saying? Like, that problem where we're like right now, where we're sitting here saying, all these kids from COVID. And I'm like, you can say it. Say what you want. But they're going to be me in about 10 years. Like, whatever issues are boiling up in there. Mm-hmm. But people know that. But are they doing something to say, no, this is it. Put some money in there. let's do this. This is our number one problem. No, they're just going to let it happen. And then we're going to have a bunch of me's, whatever they do, sprout into the world. Dang. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying to you. Like, I was living in a time where everyone could have seen it. I'm an adult. I watch a kid. I can watch a kid for 10 seconds and be like, this kid, parents, is like this. Or this kid needs to stop eating this. Or this kid's like, this. Like, I could see it in 10 seconds.
Yeah.
I was among these adults every day as they taught me, as they see me. They gave me tests, all that stuff. But they also understood, they're like, how do we fix something that we kind of broke in the beginning? Like, how do we do that? They don't know. So I got to fix it myself. Mm. Like, all this stuff I'm doing is me just doing it. Just me just saying, I don't know what y'all were supposed to do, but I know I need to learn how to read. So whatever happens in that time, I'm going to fix it. Like, that's how I kind of been operating. I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
To feel the fire coming through the screen from you about, like, I don't know what y'all broke, but I'm just going to go ahead and fix it. That feels, I can just feel that through the screen right now. Yeah. And I'm wondering, at what point did you say, enough is enough? I'm going to acknowledge that I have an issue here and I'm going to fix it myself. Like, what was that moment for you?
You know, I went to prison. I've done a lot of things. I was considered the bad kid in school. I never really wanted to listen to nobody. It wasn't because that's what I wanted to do. It's just how I knew how to operate the world. There was no other way to operate the world. So when 2020 happened, it's a place that in a time that everyone can acknowledge, like, whatever your life happened in 2020, just think, like, so did mine. Everyone got hit the exact same way or whatever it is. We all felt uneasy. Let's just say that. Everyone, regardless if it was bothering you or not. That was a time when I realized everyone feels the same. You know, my whole life, you got to realize I've been feeling, if you know how this is, different.
Yeah.
You know, like, everything's harder. It's hard. Everything's hard. I'm like, gosh, I'm not going to attempt that because it's too hard. I'm not going to do that thing over there. It's too hard. But when 2020 happened, life was hard for everybody. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? So it equaled the playing field for me to say, okay, let's try something that you never done, because right now the world is looking kind of equal for you. Like, I lived in COVID time. My life was more like COVID. So when people went into COVID, I was like, y'all scared of this? Like, I get it. You're scared of this part. But I'm like, they were scared of the other part. Like, what, is life going to go back to normal? Or is this? I'm like, I'm used to my world every day being shaped, something switching, because I'm following people. I'm working off of them. So if they do something, I got to kind of change with them. Mm-hmm. I'm used to that.
Yeah.
This is the first time the whole world was like, kind of, you know, like, why me? You know, we people who got mental issues and things like that, we do the why me, why me? Now everyone felt like they had a mental issue. It made me feel, in some way, it made me feel connected.
Wow.
Everyone had problems. You know what that felt like, to sit around and be like, everyone got problems. Like, great. You know what? Congratulations for feeling what I feel for 30 something years. And other people, there were many people who were like, hey, COVID kind of sucked, but I was at home, minding my business, didn't have to work. I kind of wasn't stressed out. People who had mental issues kind of were like, I got to take handle myself, deal with me. A lot of people took that time to do that because we never understood the world. We were just like, man, I've been following this for so long. Now COVID. And I was like, I'm going to make my own world now because there's nothing going on. So I was like, I could be a 35-year-old man reading right now. You know, whatever. It's no one's doing nothing. And it was. That wasn't it like that? People were starting up new jobs, going online, starting on online careers. They were just making stuff up. A lot of us ADHDers. A lot of us ADHDers were like, I'm going to start a podcast. I'm going to do it. We were just dreaming, right?
Yeah.
I was a part of the ADHD dreaming group. I'm like, this is my time. I've always been the mental dude and had this. I could use some of my weird gifts, like dancing in front of a camera or learning to read. Those are the ADHD things, you know?
Yeah.
But TikTok gave me the opportunity to said, hey, we're going to give you some following. We'll maybe give you a career out of this. I'm like, how are you going to give me a career from my ADHD sit down, shut up stuff? You know, when you got all that energy and they're like, sit down, shut up, don't move. That turned into dance more. Have fun. Show me what you can do. And I was like, y'all going to show me that y'all love me if I just give you me? And that's how that kind of happened. You get what I mean? Like, I was like, I gave you the weird me and y'all all were like, congratulations. Thank you for being this. I'm like, yeah, you know, I'm like, thank you. Like, that's how it kind of, it happened. Like, 2020, I started something that most people won't do. 35 years old, started going on TikTok, talk about my problems, trying to become, you know, new, changing. That's something a college kid does, a teenager, you know, you're changing your life. we're not taught to do that at 30, 30. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We kind of mm-hmm. keep our job and keep going. Mm-hmm. And I went in like a kid literally graduating high school. You know, when people ask me, they were like, well, I was learning like a kid. So yeah. 2020 is the only thing that could have allowed that to happen. You get what I'm saying? Like any other time before 2020, you know how the world was. People would have made fun of me. I'd have been the weirdo. But TikTok came, it changed things, and it allowed me to be a free, open person mm-hmm. in that time to just express my troubles, my issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a time to be alive.
Yeah. Especially for people like us with neurodivergence. You know, this is a time where people are taking a look at it. I didn't know what neurodivergent was just a month ago or something. No idea what it was.
Right?
No idea. And now people are talking about it. You go in restaurants, you could tell people like, I'm neurodivergent and I have issues with reading. And people be like, oh, no problem. And they'll come up and they'll be like, here, let me help you with the menu. I'm like, that wasn't there. I'm trying to tell you before, if I went up and try to read that menu, people would have been like, come on, like, get out the line, sir. Like, I don't know. And maybe a person might jump in and be like, here, honey, let me help you.
Sure.
Just not. But back then, no. People would just, you know, they made fun of you or somebody might laugh. Like, you know how to read? Like, but now it is totally different. It is a total different, not everywhere, but in many places, people are looking up and saying, I don't mean to be off the script, but I was at a restaurant the other day. And there's a neurodivergent person who was there. And I don't know much about neurodivergent people, but I am one of them. I walk among the world of these people and I'm like, I'm one of you. I just been posing like I'm not.
Yes.
But I'm one of these people. I am. So I'm realizing, I'm like, okay, I'm at this restaurant, fast food place. A guy comes in. He's a really cool guy. You know, he's part of the cool world. Pulls up on his motorcycle, goes in. He has his cool attitudes on his phone with his cool girlfriend. She thinks he's cool. You know how the whole thing goes. Yeah. And here goes neurodivergent person working at the front desk. He is who he is. Mm-hmm. Now he comes in and cool person comes in because he is cool and he has to hold that personality. So as soon as he comes in, he's not acknowledging the person who's at the front. He's acknowledging himself. So as soon as he comes in, he's like, hey, let me get this. Let me get that. Let me get this. Do you have a little bit of this? And the dude who's neurodivergent works on a certain, you know how it goes. He works on a pattern. So while he's answering and seems ignorant. He's like, nope, we don't have that, sir. Nope, we don't have that. How about this? Nope, we don't carry that. Nope. And the guy wants more of a connection. Like what you do have. He's like, nothing. We don't have anything. Not of that type of sauce. We won't never carry that sauce. That's not the sauce that our place carries. And the guy got upset. Like, dude, you ain't got to get all cocky. Like, what, you trying to make fun of me or something? And I jumped in. I jumped in and I tapped him. I was like, hey, sir, he's neurodivergent. Literally, his whole eyes, everything, all the cool left him. He was like a kid who got told something at like a playground. He's look at his eye. Oh, I'm sorry. On the phone. Oh, let me get off, honey. I'll talk to you in a bit. I'm sorry, dude. Like, yeah. And he started to work with him. He came into his world now. And the guy had no idea. He's still in this. He's neurodivergent. So he's still like, okay, I'm sorry, too. What would you like? Like, he's still in it. So I'm like, now he's seeing, this is a grown man.
Yes.
But I'm seeing afterwards, you know, he was done. We went outside. He thanked me. He was like, how'd you know, dude? Like, I had no idea. I thought he was trying to be smart with me. And I was like, because I'm neurodivergent. And people used to think I was being smart with them too. And I was like, he did not mean that. Like, that's how he is. Mm-hmm. Now, afterwards, I go back into the restaurant. I give him 20 bucks. You know, I ain't got much money, but I felt it. I was like, yo, here, you know, you're working here. You're not making much money. I'm not an idiot. You know what I mean? Like, you're probably in the world's probably hard for you every day. I'm sorry to tell you. So I went in and I told him, I was like, hey, listen, I don't know how work is or what it for you, but here's 20 bucks. When you're done with work, get yourself a good meal. Whatever you do, whatever it is. I don't know if you go get candy, whatever it is, go get it. You know, and just know that I'm one of you. I told him that. He shook my hand and was like, thank you so much. No one's ever like talked to me or, you know, he's like, thank you, Oliver. Thank you. Your name's Oliver? I was like, yeah. And I was like, I get it, dude. Like, I get it. Like, I know we're different in our ways, but I do get it. Like, I can see you have the heart of gold. Like, he did. Like, he can't do wrong. He doesn't understand wrong. He just does what's right in his mind. Mm-hmm. And it may come off as ignorant or passive or aggressive, but it doesn't. It's just how he answers stuff. And I don't know, that little bit right there, as you can see, I'm telling you the story. It's been changing me. Like, I feel like I know I'm neurodivergent, but I know I can pose as a regular and not say nothing. You know what I mean? And kind of just be like, whatever. But I can't no more, because now I realize I'm like, you are like one of the people who can walk the earth seeing both. Like, I can see the people who don't mean to be that way. And then I can see the people who take it wrong, because I have a mind that works in that pattern in a weird way. It's hard to explain, but as I'm learning to read, I'm gaining more awareness on it and figuring out more about it.
I just absolutely love this. And I think that it really speaks to those of us who can pose as typical, being interpreters for people who are not able to pose as typical and who may be misinterpreted. And so it's almost like this responsibility that you and I and others like us carry, where because we have the privilege of being able to pose and pretend and mask and make the world think that we are quote unquote typical or normal, we have the responsibility then to be interpreters for those who don't. And I feel that so deeply. I'm so glad you told that story. I feel that so deeply.
Me too. I'm glad I stuck up for it, because it's one of the first times I've ever was strong enough to do it. That's the truth. Like, you know what I mean? And that hurts me, because I've known in times I might have joined in on it and been like, you know what I mean? And I'm like, when I was young and I knew in my soul, I was like, you know what's wrong here. Like, stop. Like, don't do this. Mm-hmm. But I didn't get taught what was wrong with myself.
Yeah.
So I was trying to pose as normal more. I wanted to be, you know how it goes. You want to be more on this side. You can't, like, you don't want people to know your issues. You're like, no, I have those same issues, but I'm like, you will never know this. Like, I won't tell you. Look at what they're doing to him. You know what I mean? I'm like, look what they're doing to him. I don't want to do that to me.
Yeah.
But now, you know, like you said, I'm taking on my own, like as an adult, my own privilege.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to have this. It's to be able to do this, because you see this person don't have this privilege. Yeah. You at least have this. Mm-hmm. And to me, it for years, it felt kind of like a, you know how it goes, like a curse.
Yeah.
Because you're, you know, it's like you can walk two different worlds, and you know how that goes. Like, it's so weird, because you're constantly walking in someone else's headspace, like trying to make sure you're not stepping on their toes or making nothing seem uncomfortable for them. Knowing that you're like, I'm just existing, dude. Like, me existence can maybe be really hard for you. I'm sorry to tell you, but it will be really hard for you. But for me, I'm going to be great. You know what I mean? Like, because you get what I mean? And for people who can't switch, like you said, they're very ignorant to your ways, which is great, but I can see it. Like, I know that something's wrong, and I can't, that now I know now to step in and just be like, nope, that can't happen. Like, this deep, I want them to have an equal playing field on, you know, how the world is. Like, they need to have a space as well. Like, you should know about them, you know, like you should know about them like that, you know, like that. That's what I'm saying. And the only way they'll know is if you have people like us who could step in and be like, let me open your brain. When you do, though, it is literally like they feel like they're taking advantage of somebody. You know that feeling? Like, they meet, you can see it in their eyes. They wake up and they're like, oh my God, oh my gosh. Like, there's something wrong. You know, don't get me wrong. They go over the top. Like, is he like slow? Is he? But I'm like, no. Does he look slow to you? This dude runs this whole entire business. I'm like, no, he's not slow. He's actually a genius. Totally. Probably a genius. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, but you, in your world, in your mind, you can't see someone different and think that that's a genius level of thinking. You get what I'm saying? Like, you can't. You get what I mean?
Yes.
But I can see it. I'm like, that dude's probably a genius. And I'm telling you right now. You get what I mean? Like, you and I would know that. For him, he thinks he's like, barely can say like letters or words or type or anything. I'm like, dude is a genius. I'm telling you. But his level of genius doesn't fit in this world. Mm. He can't be a genius in this world. That's what I was saying. Like, to many people.
Mm. Okay, so you mentioned that this was one of the first times that you had the courage to step in and kind of interpret, you know, stand up for someone like that. And what I'm curious about is, was that because you're finally being vulnerable with the world and you're finally sharing your own struggles, your own story? Is that what gave you the courage to then be vulnerable in that moment, or kind of out yourself, maybe, you know, as you are standing up for this other person? Was it the vulnerability that you've been kind of displaying in the last year or couple years?
You know, I think it's a mixture of all of it. Yeah. I think the best thing is the vulnerability, people don't realize, came because I started teaching myself something hard.
Yeah.
I didn't know what vulnerability was. So, you know what I mean? I had an understanding of vulnerability from my understanding.
Yeah.
So understand that when I started learning how to read, vulnerability changed. Mm-hmm. So I always had the ability to stick up for people and do those things. I did it my whole life. Only different was when I acknowledged like my own problems, then it allowed me to stick up for people in places that I acknowledge. I just couldn't see it. I was always one of those people who jump in and say something, but if it doesn't hit me, I used to be like, but why would I care? I'm not going to care about it. Yep. Once I started reading, I understood, and this is scary for many people, I understood me more. because mm-hmm. I realized, I'm like, if you didn't learn to read, my man, you got some real issues going up top, especially in a world that is designed for you to read. It's a world, it's made up for that. Like, it's like, think of someone made something up and then they were like, okay, the rules of this game is you got to know how to read.
Yep.
Because we're creating a game. This is a whole illusion. It's a fake and illusion for you. In this illusion, you need to know how to read. Now, if you don't got that, you got to understand, like, the rules of this game have been made up kind of by yourself. Yeah. Like, you just made, I made up the rules of life. I just made things up in my head. You know, that could be so hard, you know, like, it's, you can't do that. Like, that's something you cannot, because you don't know the world. The world's already been running before you got here.
Mm-hmm.
People's behaviors, people's manipulated tactics, their anger, their frustration, their ways they parent, mom, dad, sister, brother, Christmas, cars, everything were here. So when you got here, if you just started making it up, that could be a problem because it's already made up before you got here.
Totally.
So people are going to be sitting here and kind of saying, like, who are you to come and try to switch this? This is the way it goes. That mm-hmm. can make a person neurodivergent. People who just go, well, I don't like Christmas on Christmas. Why don't I get it in June? Neurodivergent people might say something like, and they'd be like, why do you think you're coming here putting Christmas in June? I'm like, well, why do you have it on like that day? Like, I don't understand. Like, who did that? It's like, and who told me it has to be that way? I'm like, don't ask questions. That's a neurodivergent mind. You know, and I was like, oh my gosh. Like, that's me as a kid. Like, why am I doing Christmas? Can I have Christmas every day? No. Like, but why not? Because it's not the way it goes. But technically you could though, right? Like, no, people will tell you that. And you're like, but my brain couldn't understand that.
Yeah.
My brain's like, it just, I don't think you get what I'm saying to you. It doesn't make sense. Why can't I have Christmas today? I just had it yesterday. Because the way that you want it to be, like, you start to realize, you know what I mean? Like,
totally.
Those things were always there for me. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I was always this kind of kid and person growing up.
Yep.
But I was unaware of it. No one was explaining, like, yes, you're technically right. Christmas is something you could, if you wanted to, do every day. It's like, no one could think on that level of thinking. They were just kind of like, stop doing that.
Yep.
Don't, like, you're like kind of stopping me. But I'm like, I can't stop something I am. I'm not doing this on purpose. I'm not, I didn't make this. I'm just a person. I'm a human. I'm a being.
Yep.
Why am I doing this like that?
Yeah. Mm.
Mm-mm-mm. Yeah, it's a lot. Like I said, it's easy to talk to people who have these things because then you can get it. But if you don't get it, you'll probably be thinking like, man, you're talking in riddles. You're telling, you sound stupid. I'm like, no, this is a real thing because this is how my brain functions. I don't mean for it to be this way.
Right.
I've always known I had issues with ADHD, OCD. I've had these things, but I made them regular in your society. Like, I was doing OCD, ADHD, having these things, mental things, not thinking different, not being able to handle, but then acting like it's not there.
Yep.
Like, that's it. That's all I was doing. But it's there for 30 something years.
Mm.
It was so hard to be able to stick up for anybody because I'm not even like sticking up for myself. I'm not even knowing myself. All this, like that, you know what I mean? I don't know it. As soon as I started reading, it was like, here's a little bit of something you've been missing your whole life. Awareness. Awareness of yourself. What do you think about yourself? And immediately I start to be like, well, why is it that it's wrong I'm like this? Why? Like, because all these years, people have been kind of telling you.
Yeah.
Now, how do you feel? When I started to take over and think, I'm like, well, I want to walk different. I want to talk different. I want to be me. I want people to know I have OCD and I want people to know I struggle and I want people to know I have. It was because I acknowledged it. Then I realized, I'm like, I have this. This is me. This is not you with the problem or you. It's me. And it's like, yes. Can you know about it? Like, yeah, hey, I don't read well. Why are you telling me? Because I haven't told nobody in 30-something years. I'm like, why did I tell you? I don't know why I haven't said this. I'm like, that. Reading helped me acknowledge myself, which it became easy to express because I've always been this type of person. I just didn't know it.
Yeah.
I had no acknowledgement of who I was. Like, but it's like, yeah, you see how wild that is? It's like a reading gave me a little voice. A little voice that would say, here, like, this is you. This is who you are. And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, it's scary. I'm not gonna lie. I was like, oh my gosh, why am I this? Why am I? But I always knew that. I'm like, you've always known this. Why are you acting like you don't know? I was like, because you never acknowledged yourself. You never knew you. That once that happened, I start to see everybody.
Dang.
People were like me. People, I start walking around. I'm like, you're like me. You're like me. You're like me. I'm like, yous are all like me. Oh my God. Like, I didn't see them. I had no idea. But now I walk around. I'm like, you're like me. I could be at the grocery store. I'm like, huh, another ADHD-er.
Yep.
In my head, I'm like, congratulations. I wonder if you know you. Like, I wonder if you know you got this. Some people don't know.
Yeah.
There'll be people who have no idea. They're in the lines. You ever see them? They're like, I wonder if that person knows. And they don't. They've been posing as something else and have no idea. I'm like, that's just ADHD. Has this ever happened to you every time you come to the grocery store? Yeah. I'm like, it's probably going to be that way for the rest of your life. This is who you are. I'm like, but they don't know that, and including myself. Now I go into the grocery store, I'm trying to tell you, it's just like I'm reliving childhood again. I have the green light. Just straight up. This sounds crazy. And this is something I may do. I have the green light to run around and get inside, like go inside of some of the clothes.
Yes.
And just hanging them and like do, because I'm like, I'm 35, but somebody might look at me like I'm crazy. Like, what are you doing under them clothes and run around the curtain? I'm like, I'm healing my mental. I'm sorry. Like when I was a kid, my mom didn't let me do this. I came to hide under here for a little bit and have some fun. But no one can say nothing to me because I'm an adult. So when I'm done, I'll clean it up and then I'll go on about my way. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but when I was a kid, I might have got beat. I might have got yelled at. I might have gotten in trouble by a worker. You know, all these. But I was like, I was just exploring, you know, this another world. When I went under the clothes, I feel like I was in another world and I was living in another space. And it's like, but you thought I was just being a bad kid running around the store. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like that is like, that's the parts I live now in those spaces. Like you're a 35-year-old man hiding under clothes like you a kid. I'm like, you have no idea what I'm doing right now. I am healing the hell out of me. Like, it's the truth.
Healing your inner child one trip to the store at a time.
Yep.
And
people who have minds like me would know. They'd be like, I remember those. I know this. I understand that. They would get it. They'd be like, thank you. Thank you for doing that. Because people who did that, we didn't try to be bad, or we just did not know how to control our beings, our people, who we are. That's all it really was.
Hmm. It sounds like reading kind of woke you up to yourself.
Yeah.
Like learning how to read gave you an awareness of self, and even like an inner monologue, like the ability to think and like observe your thinking and notice that you're thinking, like, oh, I am thinking right now. I am having thoughts. Like, I don't know that that's exclusive to literacy. I think that that is part of like the ADHD journey as we like are waking up to ourselves and like, oh my gosh, I have thoughts and my thoughts matter. Yeah. And like all of that, it's just, so while I don't relate to the literacy part, I relate to realizing that I'm a person, if that makes sense. Like, I'm a person. Oh, I have thoughts. Oh, my thoughts are kind of like dictating what I do. And I could think different thoughts if I want. Like, I had no idea. Why didn't anybody teach me this when I was a child, you know?
Yes.
So I totally relate to like the waking up to yourself part. Totally.
It just so happened that this is the part that, and again, it may not happen for everybody.
Right.
The reason why it happened to me in this way is because you got to realize I didn't do something that I probably should have been taught as a kid. Mm-hmm. Books probably would have gave me a little insight of certain things or might've helped me, but I didn't have no one teaching me nothing.
Yeah.
Books are teaching me. Yeah. It's all it is. It's just teaching me how to be myself and how to like, so it's a really weird place. I think that's why a lot of this becomes what it becomes, because I have these issues, because I have all these things, reading has been a really big part because people are starting to see what reading could do to an individual who doesn't do it. So if you have like a person who's like, man, this person's going in out of prison, they don't know. I'm like, do they read? Like, no. I'm like, do you know if you, like, I get you give them medicine or other, but if you sat that person down for 3 weeks and gave them the understanding, I'm like, you just read. Don't matter if you're getting good at it or not.
Right.
There's something in reading that opens up your brain. It started to, like, you know, I read on it, it's like your frontal cortex. Yeah. Think about never use that. It's like you never use that part of your brain. Like, no. Well, let's give it a try. Let's turn it on.
Yes.
Well, how do you do that? I don't know. What's the thing you don't do? I don't read. Well, here, let's throw some flame on that fire. Like, let's do it.
Yes.
Just jump on in there. Like, what do you mean? Here's a book. Read what you got.
Yeah.
Your brain's going to immediately start going into shock. Like, I don't want this. I want to quit. There you go. Now we're finding Oliver. Why do you want to quit? I don't know. Who are you? What's quitting? I don't know. I'm frustrated. Here you go. This is who you are. Frustration, anger. Have you ever dealt with this? No.
Yeah.
You need to. Like, you need to understand that this is not how you feel when you pick up a book, my friend. This is not the relationship between books. And I'm like, oh my gosh. This is not the relationship. Like, no, it should be the total opposite. You should feel wholesome. Sit down. Feel comfortable. This is your time. This is your space to relax and take something in. I don't feel that. that's when I start to realize, I was like, now this is going to be a journey. Because if you start to feel that, it's something you've never felt ever. You know what I mean? I've never felt that. So I think that's why I've had such a high energy or so much passion behind it, because it's like a drug.
Oh, yeah.
From not reading, I have reading like a drug. So if someone goes and smokes a cigarette or something, I could be stressed out and start reading a book, and that's like a cigarette. Because yeah. You know what I mean? Because that's what I... So I don't know how to explain it, but it's not supposed to happen this way.
Right.
A 35-year-old is not supposed to have an awakening about what reading could do to him and how much... He's supposed to have had that as a child and grown through it. So I think that's why it looks a lot of like, whoa, dude, you're a person who can't read, who also deals with mental issues. That, yeah. How is that? I'm like, I'm learning how it is. No one's taught me. I have no idea what this is. If I never learned how to read, that's the part that makes me scary. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that part. Like, because if this is important for other people to understand how important it is, when you're younger and you don't know how to read, you have enough energy to do other things to help you get by. When you start getting older, you don't have that. And the only thing you have are the tools that you've built up over years.
Wow.
Now, I can't use those tools that I was using as a young, manipulation, you know, lying, cheating, gaslighting, because that's what you do.
Right.
I can't use that now at 35. People are going to look at you and be like, I'm not dealing with you. Like, you, I'm sorry to tell you, you are too old for that. When you're young, you might have a young person participate. Your significant other, your mom, everybody still has energy to help you.
Yeah.
As you start getting up in them 30s and 40s, they're like, hey, we losing our lives. We all don't care about you. Sorry to tell you, buddy. You better figure it out. And that's what it does become.
Yeah.
So I have no choice but to learn. When I learned, it gave me another life. Now I get to live like a kid without parents. I'm my own parent. I'm the parent. I'm the teacher. I'm the guru. I'm the monk. I'm the lesson teacher. I'm everything. I've become that.
Oh, gosh. Okay, this is a perfect segue into a question that I have written down, because I really wanted to ask you, how has learning to read helped you to break generational curses?
Well, it immediately puts a different picture into everybody's mind that is now watching what's going on. And I don't mean just watching. I mean, everyone, my kids, my mom, my sisters, my brothers, everyone who's watching me now, because they are not able to see me as a person who doesn't like read.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't make reading like I learned how to read. Congratulations. I made reading my life.
Mm-hmm.
So meaning like my kids know me as a reader.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they might think that's my job. Like dad reads for his job or something. Like I made it like an obsession. Like I'm so I know that my kids, they do this like thinking it's like a part of our family. Like my son, my little one, he wakes up, he jumps off the bed, he runs over to a book and just starts carrying it around. Starts like messing around with it. He just thinks it's a part of life. He doesn't understand like it's hard. He doesn't know how to read it. He just doesn't care. He's like, whatever's in there, I want to know. Let me give me it. He hands it to me. I read it to him. He doesn't have any disconnection towards it because there's nothing for him to have that. I show a love for it. So as long as I'm showing a love, he thinks this thing is the coolest thing ever. All kids will do that. Because I'm just sitting there with my book. So he might jump up on my lap and start trying to rip my book out of my hand and then take it and try to look at it himself. It's the same thing with a phone. Or if you had something else in your hand, they'll do that. But I realized, I'm like, I'm just literally programming to think that books are amazing. Like books are supposed to just be played with, touched. You just carry it for no reason. Like, why am I carrying this? I don't know. It's in my hand. I just need it. That's what he thinks.
Yeah.
He thinks that it's a part of his life. Like he needs it to grow up. So that's breaking the curse. I never had books in my house. So I realized, I'm like, my kids will grow up with books like I grew up with the things in my brain. If I knew my mom drank as a kid. I knew she smoked cigarettes as a kid. I shouldn't know that. I shouldn't know she read as a kid, right?
Right.
But the world didn't teach her that. I can't fault her for that because that was a time that she was getting through hard times as a single mom. And this is the stuff she needed to use.
Yeah.
But I'm acknowledging, I'm like, this was her fight. My fight was like, I wish I would have woke up and seen her reading in the morning, giving me a kiss on the forehead like Mary Poppins or something. You know what I mean? That's what I wanted. But that didn't happen. I might have got a scream and get your butt up and get ready for school. And she might be smoking a cigarette and yelling at me. But I didn't understand that that was going to be my internal monologue. When I realized, I was like, no, when we get older, baby, what we're going to do is we're going to change this. We're going to break those curses by bringing things into the house that wasn't in my house. There was no books. Now you're going to my house, there's books all over. They just laying on the floor. Pages ripped all over. Good. That's how the house is. The house is full of books. You'd be like, why? Because I want you to be in the future when you grow up. I had books everywhere. I mean, we couldn't go nowhere. I used to rip them, throw them out. I said, whatever, you were a kid, but you had books. And you, they don't know. There's no separation. Now they'll just, it's so weird, but they'll just grow up like probably like you or anyone else. Like, you don't even know what reading is. You're like, I just have it.
Right.
Someone gave it to me and I got it. Me, I got to go to it. I got to go pick it up. Like, when I get up in the morning, I pick reading up and I bring it with me. It's not a part of me. I got to bring it with me. Because if I don't, I won't read anything at all.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. Oh, hold on 1 second. Can I drop this bike off?
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Yep.
Okay. I'm going to run it in. And then
no problem.
I'll come right back on. Thank you so much.
No problem at all. And now, a word from our sponsor. Hey, Kristen here. I'm the host of this podcast, an ADHD expert and a certified life coach who's helped hundreds of adults with ADHD understand their unique brains and make real changes in their lives. If you're not sure what a life coach is, let me tell you. A life coach is someone who helps you achieve your goals, like a personal trainer for your life. A life coach is a guide who holds your hand along the way as you take baby step after baby step to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. A good life coach is a trained expert who knows how to look at situations, all situations, with non-judgmental neutrality and offer you solutions that you've probably never even considered before. If you're being treated for your ADHD, and maybe even you've done some work in therapy, and you want to add to your scaffolding of support, you've got to join my group coaching program, Focused. Focused is where functional adults with ADHD surround each other with encouragement and support. And I lead the way with innovative and creative solutions to help you fully accept yourself, understand your ADHD, and create the life that you've always wanted to create, even with ADHD. Go to ihaveadhd.com/focused to join. And I hope to see you in our community today.
Okay, thank you. Sorry.
No problem at all. You good?
Yeah, yeah. The guy I was dealing with is not the nicest guy in the world. And sometimes, like I said, you have to deal with those. You know how you know you're different? And I'm like, code switching for me is really easy, but it's usually hard because, like, I'm also raised, and this is a weird thing, but this is cool to get on camera too. But I'm also raised in a Black community. And I speak very proper, and I code switch. So when I go in, I'd be like, nice Oliver. But I'm still like, smack the shit out of you, Oliver, because I was raised in the hood. So in my mind, some people might be like ignorant or mean to me, but I'm in my head. I'm like, you realize I probably could knock your head off your shoulders. But I'm still like, I'm broken, but I'm like, congratulations. Thank you so much. I'm like, oh, I have to be like mask Oliver right now because where you are, you know what I mean? Like, but people don't get that. They don't understand that like your brain is completely shattered, like in so many different things. But I'm like, I've been raised that way. Like, to react certain things, do certain things. And I'm like, why am I raised like this? This is so messed up. But I can see that other people are raised to not understand like you, like in some way or way. It's weird as heck, but the person's really mean. The person was like, there's just like, I don't know how to explain this.
That
is
so rude. And if you need to take a minute to like get your body calmed down, we can do that. Cause like when someone is rude to me, I get so dysregulated. Like the rage inside of me, I can barely think.
Same here. It's so weird. But I think that's the parts that I don't understand. That's why I'm starting to get like, I'm like, it has nothing to do with me. It's like, it's a, you know, that's why I'm realizing, I'm like, this has nothing to do with you, man. Like, even my personality will bother people because I know me that I'm like, I can't be my real self because if I was my real self, you would not even be able to handle it. Like, that's why I'm like, I have to be in there like, okay, this person's having an issue.
Yeah.
Regardless if they're not or not, this is who they are. I'm like, okay, just hold it in. Like, I'll be like, cool, okay, thank you so much, sir. Thank you. Okay. And then I leave and I'm like, but you can see how the way they were treating you. And I'm like, it's weird because like I was saying, it's like, I have these disabilities and stuff. So I was trying to like figure out where to go or something, but they're not, you don't know where to go. Well, the sign says it right here. You should. And I'm just like, okay. Okay. And like, I'm sorry. It's just like, well, you know, like you could, I don't go further in, but you can tell what people are talking. I'm like, I'm so sorry. I just struggle with this. And like, I don't know why you struggle. It's right there. I'm just like, okay, I'm so sorry, sir. You know what? You know, like little things like that when you get into it and you realize you're like, I'm so sorry. Don't worry. But you realize you're like, I can't explain this to you. I can't break this. Because if I did, it will just, you know, it will make you think like I'm attacking you or something. I know that. Like if I've been like, you know that you're not supposed to do that. Like I had, like they will immediately think like you're attacking them. And I'm like, no, let me stop. I have no idea what's going on.
It is so interesting to think about the term that you use, like code switching and like walking through life, especially for you, like not just neurodivergent, but also, you know, code switching as a Black man. And it's just like so much of interacting is deciding which version of me is going to be showing up right now.
Yeah. Like, that could be so hard.
Who's going to show up? Like, am I going to be vulnerable about my struggles or am I going to pose and pretend that I have no struggles? Am I going to speak in a very mild mannered and calm tone or am I going to unleash the rage on this person? And I mean, I'm just a white lady from the suburbs, so I don't understand all of that, but I do understand making myself small in order to make other people feel comfortable.
Yep. There's no difference. It don't matter where you come from. We all kind of, you hit it right on the nail. So you basically see it like, I have to, like, no matter what, I was like, I have to, you have to do this right now. Like you can see it like in your world. I'm like, this is a business. This is people. I'm like, you want to change it. You're like, do you know who, how you're, but you can't, you know, you're sitting there like, just stop and just take this one as a loss.
Yes.
You know, somewhere down the line, it will make itself up. Like, just take this one. And I have to. There's many times that I'm sitting there, I'm like, I am not even being myself. I'm just like, just take it as a loss and go on about your day. And I credit a lot of this. I don't think you get it. But I've been to prison. So obviously I'm in the prison because I couldn't handle the choices I made and the decisions. I was making bad choices. Mm. Now, you know, I credit reading to helping me make these like this. Like being able to sit here and say, you know what? That guy was so mean in the past. I probably would have like argued or said something or because I was reading it wrong and certain things. Like it didn't matter. Because of the way certain person was making you feel, it didn't matter.
Yeah.
But now I think I'm sitting here and realizing now I'm like, this is just the way the world works, man. Yeah. Like you're starting to be aware of, you know, how to be a little bit more smarter for yourself because you can't change everyone. Everyone's probably some of them are in a worse position than you posing to be in a better situation. And like, it's so wild. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh my gosh.
Yes.
So in some sense of the way, it's hard, like you're saying, but you got to sit back and realize, and like that, you think you're in pain. That person's probably in way more pain than you.
Yeah.
And they look like they got it going on. And that's what I'm realizing. Because if that was the case, these people wouldn't act that way. It's so weird, but they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't. I don't have no reason to act that way.
If they were happy and healthy and healed.
Yeah.
They would just be kind.
Yes. Right?
And so especially we can make that assumption like, well, they're not happy, healthy and healed because they can't. Just be kind to a stranger who's returning a bike. Like, it's not that hard. This really reminds me of what you said earlier about, you know, as a kid, when you had like very little self-awareness and you were a kid and you just were like, I don't understand how the world works. Like, why does the world work this way? And you kind of brought your own rules. And now as an adult with more self-awareness, you're realizing, okay, the world does work this way. So how can I use that to my advantage when I need to?
Yeah.
Like my own understanding, right? So like you just use it to your advantage when you have to, and maybe other times you don't, but having that awareness is...
goes both ways. I think people are starting to realize now, like, because a lot of people are starting to realize, like, the person with the problem doesn't need to be, I mean, has to be aware just as much as the person who doesn't have the problem.
Yes.
Yeah, like, you both, like, I think we're starting to realize that. Back in the day, it was only the person who had the problem had to be aware.
Yes.
As much as you possibly can. And then the other person just was just like, whatever. Like, they just brushed it off. Like, that person got problems. Now, I think people are starting to be like, hey, you both need to be aware. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's what we're starting to realize. We both need to be aware, like, oh, this person's like this. I'm like this. And like, okay, we know how to handle this person. Like, we know how to do, like, but I think we're getting into that. Just to think of how small our world is when no one thinks alike, but everyone's acting like they do. Not one person in this world thinks exactly the same, but we have built a world that everyone's supposed to act like it is the same. Every single person. Think of how confusion, it's so confusing, especially to a mind like mine.
Yeah.
When I realized, like, I'm like, I know every individual is a different being internally. I can see them. I can feel them.
Mm.
But I can see many of them. When I look at them, I'm like, you're not this person. You act as this person. Like, I can see it from the way you look. You act like this all the time. Like, that's how you act. But that's the thing. Like, that's the part that I've noticed, that like, how did the entire world be able to trick us to believe that there's a certain group in this world that live among us the right way?
Yeah.
But even those people are the ones who live the most wrong, but pose as the right way. It's an image. You get it? Like, but how's everyone following that image? Like, it's the right way. Knowing that you're like, this isn't real. This isn't a real image. That's how it is living in the mind of like my mind, where I'm realizing, like, I don't know if y'all know it's real or not, but when you have neurodivergent mind, like this situation, I have to realize it's a fake situation that you take serious.
Yep.
So I have to realize, I had to sit here and say, like, oh, this person believes they're protected by all this situation. But I'm like, yes, they feel like this is the right time to treat you this way. But if you ran into them at the grocery store in the grocery line, they'll probably let you butt them.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't even say, I'm like, you come on now. I'm like, you're 6'2" black dude. Probably, you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, this dude's a 5-foot half bald dude. I'm like, you think this dude would really try that? I'm like, no. This dude grew up in privilege, all these. I'm like, but you see what I'm saying? His image is clouded by his life, his business, certain things. I'm like, but in that was the same thing in schools. The same thing with teachers. They would treat me and beat me in elementary school because I was beat by my teachers in elementary school. So I was beat from second grade to about fifth grade by my elementary school teachers in special education. That's why I didn't learn to read. So like, I was beat by them. Yeah. So like, they used to call it restraining, but they beat the heck out of us. They didn't know what was wrong with me. They thought something was wrong with me. They restrained me. They beat me, locked me in closets. They used to do all types of wild stuff to us. But when I was in the grocery store, they would just say, hello, Oliver, how you doing? And say, hey, Miss Sally, or how was school? And I'd be like, why are you scared? I was like, you're scared of my mom. Like, you're scared of this. You won't be the sit in your seat. Get over here. Restrain me. I'm like, restrain me. I used to be in the grocery store. I'm like, yo, mister, why don't you restrain me? Slam me. And he'd be like, my mom would be like, Oliver. I'm like, yeah, well, when he's in school, you know, he signed up for the program. We're allowed to restrain them. And my mom be like, oh, okay. What do you mean? Like, what do you mean? Be like, well, when they get out of line, we like sit them down. You know, we sit them in a corner and we make sure that we go over breathing exercises. We talk to, and that's just what stuff they would say. I'm not, and I used to be like, my mom would look at me. I'm like, breathing exercise. I'm like, mom, I'm telling you, like, it's not like that. Like, I'm telling you, you know what, whatever. So listen to what I'm saying to you. Like, that's how it would be. But yeah. I was a kid seeing that where you would be like, hey, Oliver. So good. I'd be like, hey, Oliver, you just kicked me out of my class, called me the bad kid, and said I would never amount to nothing. You're talking about, hey, Oliver. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that's when I started to realize that's how the world really ran. Man. When you get back in class, you get it. Like, I was seeing that, not from one party. The principal was in this. You know why? Because I'm an adult now. When I left school, they went down to the principal's little lounge and they talked about a few kids. And when they met, my name came up, they would just be like, oh, Oliver. Oh, my gosh. He's in your class? He's in your homeroom? Oh, they do it now.
Yeah.
Same things they do now with these kids. Oh, my gosh, he is. Whoo, I feel his mom. And this is what they did. They ain't nobody trying to fix nothing. They're just in there gossiping in those little teacher lounges. And that's what it is. The principal coming and be like, whoa, he was bad in your class. I'm like, you realize y'all are teaming up on a 7-year-old?
I know.
And you see what I'm saying? Like, they're teaming up on him. Like, what are we going to do with him? What class? Well, maybe we should do. I'm like, you're teaming up on how to bring down a 7- and 8-year-old.
Man.
And they did a good job. They kicked me out of school. They sent me to different places. They put me in special classes. They beat me. They locked me in closets. Anything to try to get me to behave.
Dang.
You get what I'm saying? And you think about that. That's a real, true thing that has happened. And I look at that. I'm like, ain't nothing different from that till today.
Mm.
People will act one way when you're in their business and they'll call you all kinds of names and do certain things. But as soon as you walk outside and y'all walking in public, they won't even walk on the same side of the street as you.
Yeah.
Those same people, they'll cross the street when you're walking. You got your hood up and you're walking down the street. The first thing they're going to do is cross the street. And I might be listening to Britney Spears like this. I might be walking down the street listening to Britney Spears and you scared of me. You know what I mean?
Okay, but be honest. Are you listening to Britney Spears?
Sometimes. Okay. That's the thing that people don't realize. I'm not lying to you. If you watch, that's what makes my TikTok so fun, because I've expressed my personality in a real way. Like, I'll play Britney and play
love
some
it.
Things that I'm like, yo, I used to listen to this as a kid.
Yeah.
While I was walking around with my hood up.
So good.
And that's the truth. Hood dudes is doing that. People in the hood, they throwing on, they watching cartoons.
I was
watching DuckTales in the hood and
DuckTales. Yes. Oh my gosh.
You see what I'm saying? But there's no difference. Like, we same kids. Now, just because we run around with our hoods up or something like that.
Yeah.
When we went home, we watched DuckTales and watched, you know what I mean? The same thing.
Love
that's what I mean by that. Like, a lot of people, they couldn't grasp that or take that into consideration. And I get it, because the world didn't show them that. So they treated an 8-year-old, 7-year-old, 6-year-old, 5-year-old, 10-year-old kid like the rapper they see on TV. Oh, like the 30-year-old rapper, the 30-year-old gangbanger or somebody. Not saying that I wasn't in that route to become like doing gangs or something. I might have. What I'm saying was, I was 8. I was 9. I was 10. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I wasn't 30 now. Right. That's a difference. Yeah.
Totally. Ugh. Okay. I can't let you go before I ask you about your ADHD.
Okay. Perfect.
When were you diagnosed with ADHD, and what is it like for you to have ADHD? Like, how does it present for you?
You know, it's kind of wild because I'm just learning it. I didn't even know I was diagnosed. I didn't know. Still don't even know. I'm diagnosed now because I've gotten like diagnosed for OCD and ADHD in my 30s. But as a kid, I was diagnosed, but I wasn't told. Like, it was more of like they told my mom or they told someone else. They didn't tell me anything. They just would tell me, like, take me in a room, give me some tests, and then be like, okay. And next you know, I'm in a new class or something, or a new school. And I used to be like, why am I here? Like, what is this? And next you know, I'm getting kicked out of there or something. Like, no one's telling me. Nothing. I remember when I was a kid and I had OCD. I have OCD. And I remember I used to have blisters all over my hands. And I got expelled from school because I wouldn't take my gloves off. And they were just like, you have to take them off. I was in middle school. And I remember every day, like, they literally called my mom in. My mom was angry. My mom had to take me to see some person. The person told them, like, tell him to stop washing his hands. They didn't tell me what's wrong with me. They're just saying he can't do it because the blisters are reason why, is because he's washing his hands. I had blisters all over my fingers. And I remember my mom being like, every time I would go to the bathroom, she would just scream at me or hit me or something and be like, don't touch the sink. Don't. And I didn't understand why I was touching it.
Totally.
Now, this is OCD, but that was causing me anxiety.
Yeah.
And then the ADHD, having the ADHD, basically the forgetting things and the not being able to stay focused. Yeah. So even though she was teaching me, I couldn't stay focused on what she was trying to teach me. My brain was in chaos. So what I'm explaining to you, you got to realize, like, I don't know how I was even able to function. Like, many times, I don't know what kept me going, like, in life. I don't know what it was, but it was pure chaos mixed with OCD. And then ADHD, I mean, I don't know. I've never been able to express this to people, so I'm going to express it, and hopefully y'all get it too. It's like a fire. Yeah. It feels like my body is burning. Yeah. Like, there's times I get lost in train of thought, and it feels so good, right?
Yeah.
But then I realized that I was supposed to be, like, driving somewhere. But I've been sitting out front of, like, the laundromat thinking about, like, how the clothes are drying. You know what I mean? And I'm like, dang, yo, they're drying, like, they're going to dry, like, halfway. They're not going to go all the way. And I'm like, why did you sit here and think about that for an hour? Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm like, the clothes are dry now. Let's go back in and change the clothes. You know what I mean? Like, now I go in and change the clothes. Now all of a sudden I miss picking up my kid from school. Like, he's there 10 minutes late. I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, no, crap. I'm like, I'm only 10 minutes late, right? It was like that. But then the guilt and shame within from people understanding, like, why are you late? Why are they? And then the fire, that fiery guilt, like, confused headache. Like, you're like, I don't know. Like, I think you're trying to make excuses. You're trying to, and you realize, you're like, why is my life like this? And at the same time, while that just happened, you're about to go in the house and you've realized you lost your keys for the 50th time. For the 50th time, you're like, okay.
Oh my
God. Now, having ADHD, the person who's in your life will deal with it harder than even you. Because I might be sitting on the front porch and someone come home and be like, what happened? I lost my keys. You lost your keys. You did what? I'm like, yeah. And I might be fine to go inside and be like, yeah, I just feel like my body's on fire.
Yeah.
But I'm okay. And then now you have to deal with someone telling you, how do you do this? Like, why do you keep in here? Like, shut down, go into a hole, like abort. You don't even know how to exist. You know, why am I alive? I don't even want to be alive. Like, you start feeling all those things until you can get through it somehow, some way. And then it happens all over again. It's like all over again. Mm-hmm. So it's like I'm in a place of, like, the whirlpool of, like, still trying to decipher, like, the things I've done in my life, not or fully my fault.
Yes.
Feelings that. Accepting it. Like, dude, you lost your keys. I'm like, okay, you're a person who might lose keys. Let's not lose it more than 3 times a year. I'm like, that's a great thing. I'm like, oh, so we can minimize the like, yeah, if we acknowledge your problem, you're going to lose keys. You're going to lose phones. You're going to do it because this is who you are.
Yeah.
But if we can minimize them by being able to help you regulate the things that you do, this is who you are. when it does go wrong, you can sit back and go, okay, just two this year. I only lost two phones. Like, great. Like, I used to lose 10. You know, like, now you're starting to realize.
Oh, it's so good.
Do you see what I'm saying? Like, yes. Now, what I didn't understand was that burning sensation, that confused mind, the I'm still trying to learn. I'm trying to give it to you as raw as I feel it. The hyperactiveness, like the,
yes,
like this, I'm giving to you. Like when you sit here and you just see how I am, that's not a fake thing. This is me. This is like me at 3 a.m. when my lady's like, the baby's sleeping. And I'm like, oh, I got to tell you something. You know, there's, and she's just like, the baby, just calm down. I'm like, oh yeah. And I can't, my energy, everything is like, okay, well, you got, and I'm like, wow, why can't I be? And like, you're never going to be like that. Even like right now. Mm-hmm. Like if you were like, Oliver, okay, sit still, just try. I'd be like, we got to stop the interview. Then I'm like, I won't be able to do it. Sorry to tell you. Because I've learned to accept this. I'm like, this is me. Yes. I enjoy this about me. Like, this is me. And I will never be able to completely fix this.
Right.
And this is great. I'm a 35-year-old man who can get excited about a book. You know, like, because I have ADHD, my brain is like that. It's basically, it, you get what I'm saying? Like, it is part of it. ADHD is a big part of me being able to feel like a kid. At 30, I can climb a tree and feel like I can, like I have these things, like, but I understand this is the part I guess break down for some people. When I'm not climbing trees, when I'm not doing the little things that like I used to do as a kid, but also seeing the healthy in it, like, okay, take some time, do this. When I'm not doing that, I am very depressed, very lost, very lonely. When I'm living in a world where people are like, you got to do this, do that. Like, you know, you got to work and do these things. Those are fine, but those don't work well for the ADHD mind. No. We don't want to work for money. We need kind of like a purpose, like something like art. You know how we do? Like, we just give us that. When we have that, our brains are like, you know, if you're ADHD, we are like geniuses. That's why when it comes to this reading thing and all this, I am like a genius. I will read like a maniac for the rest of my life because of the ADHD. So people don't realize like, that plays a big role in me being able to like learn. Yeah. It was also a big role in not learning when I did not know how to work with it. You get, hear me what I'm saying? When you watch my page, I'm doing handstands, I'm dancing to music and reading at the same time. You know what I mean? Like
that I was, saw that one was, where you have your book at the gym with you. Yes. You're like, I'm in the gym. This is where I move and I'm reading. Yes. I was like,
that was restraining. That was a restraint. I used to get beat for that. I used to be dancing at the desk. I'm telling you, that's why I'm trying to give you the raw.
I'm so angry. I just want to say I'm so angry on your behalf. So angry.
Beat the heck out of me. Beat the heck. And I want people to hear it like that. So if you put it in your thing, I want them to know, like, he beat me not knowing that I was an ADHD kid, OCD, not knowing how to deal with neurodivergent.
Yep.
And this man beat me and many other kids. Who else little girl comes to school with marker on their lips? Talking about his lipstick. That kid got the ADHD. You know what I mean? Like, I had kids in my class talking about, look at my lipstick. Put marker on their mouth. I'm like, okay, this kid eating crayons.
Yeah.
They can't function completely, but they're not off. You got to work with them. You don't call them dumb or do things or tell them to go to office. Why'd you do that? You work with them. Their brains work different.
Yeah.
And you know these kind of kids. You know how these things work. And they get older and they're like, wow, that kid invented the crayon. You know what I mean? Like, you invented the new crayon. Like, how? You'd be like, you don't understand. He had to eat them first when he was younger. Now you invented the new tasting crayon. You can eat it. You can eat it and color at the dinner table.
So
now you got your kids eating it. You get what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's the ADHD kid. Now all of a sudden you got a crayon at the darn restaurant where your kids eat it and color at the same time. It's a cookie
crayon. Why hasn't anyone invented that?
Because they ain't got ADHD. You got to have ADHD. We just invented it. That's the ADHDers. Your Albert Einsteins, all these people were ADHD.
Yeah.
That's why we're starting to realize, I'm like, dang, the gifts are in there. But if you don't give like the kids the right teaching and the right people, man, that ADHD can become damaging. That means so the opposite, bringing to the world can be destructive. Mm. With the right mind, that person can go on a destructive pattern. You know what I mean? Like, if you teach them wrong, because you put an ADHD person in a gang, they will ride.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? They will ride. You know what I mean? They don't have no other thought process. They going to ride.
Yeah.
They ADHD. They bout it. They've been taught this. You know how it is to have ADHD and you just connected me to something like that? Oh, forget it. I'm riding.
Yeah.
That's what people don't fully understand. I'm like, you need some people in their life to be able to put them on the right track, because I can tell you with ADHD, I can go down a wormhole for a week studying. I've been trying to get an e-bike I just literally ran it one. I'm too into it because of ADHD. Even my lady's like, can you hurry up and buy this damn bike? Like, just buy the bike. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to buy it. Because she knows. She's like, I'm not going to be able to stop until you buy this bike.
That's and amazing.
That's the ADHD.
Yeah.
But I may not want to buy nothing for 5 years. And out of nowhere, I'm like, I want an e-bike.
Yep.
I think it'd be the most amazing thing. I have a one-year-old and he loves seeing trees. So I want to ride him around the woods in, this, you know, in the bike. That's the only reason why I want it. I just want to ride him around the woods so he can see trees. That's all I want him to do. That's it. And it's stuck in my brain. I can't get it out because I'm just seeing him being able to look at the trees because he loves seeing the trees and stuff when he were riding around. That's it. So my lady, when you look at that though, with the wrong partner, she may think that you're just like, you just want to spend money or you want to do it. But you see me, I'm like, I'm really serious. I have a 1.5-year-old and he loves outside and I can't get him out enough on feet. Like, you know what I mean? In places he wants to be. So I'm like, these new e-bikes can go through woods and things. I'm like, he'll see all the trees and all the, and that's all my brain's thinking about. So that's the only reason why I want the bike. That's it.
I love it so much. I love it so much. Oh my gosh. Well, you obviously need to go buy an e-bike today.
Yeah, we're going to get one. We're going to get one. We're working on it. We're definitely working on it.
I love it. It's so smart to rent one first. That was a very grown-up, non-ADHD move.
Non-ADHD. Very well done. Yeah. And thank you. Thank you for that. Thank you. So it's not something that usually happens on the record, but right? I was being responsible.
Those moments where we can channel our executive brain and say like, oh, it would make sense for me to rent one. And like those moments are like, oh, they're so rare, but it's so great. I literally could talk to you all day long. I wish I could, but I'm just so grateful for you being here. And I just really want you to hear me say that sitting across from you virtually, face to face, it is so invigorating. I just feel your energy. I just absolutely love chatting with you. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for your time and that you are here with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I mean, like I said, this is all new to me. I'm excited to be able to express things like this.
Yeah.
And thank you for you're doing something that I've never even seen like people kind of want to do. Mm-hmm. And just talk about, you know, like neurodivergent minds, you know, ADHD things. I'm scared to even talk about it myself because I don't want people to call me weird and certain things. You know how it goes. And I never really been able to, but I've been open and I've taken on that journey now to say, this is what I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And I want to tell you, like anytime you want me on your platform to speak about mental health issues or certain things like that, please call me. This is what it's all about. Like I lived in pain for years. Yeah. I told you about the guy I seen at the when I went out to eat.
Yeah.
I lived like that. I lived in pain and I, I'm just so happy that you're asking me a question like ADHD. No one's asked that. No one asked these things. So thank you. Like anytime you want to bring me on to speak about ADHD or certain things like that. Yes, I'm living with ADHD. I'm going to live with it for the rest of my life. And I'm a proud ADHDer. Yeah. I'm a very happy, proud ADHDer. I used to be very hard on myself. So thank you for being able to talk about this. And I hope many people hear this and they're proud. Be proud of your ADHD, of your forgetfulness and the way you are. Be happy. Start enjoy that. Enjoy this because this world was made for you. It just hasn't been shown that it's made for you. You have to kind of create it. That's what we're doing. To help people see, like, I'm there for you. There are people out there who, I live this. This is my life. I don't just play with this. I live every moment of this. ADHD is a part of my movement and my decision making. Yeah. So I want people to know everything about that.
I love it. Yeah. Where can people find you? Everyone listening is going to be like, who is this man? I need to go follow him. I need more of his work. So tell us where we can find you. We'll also make sure to link it in the show notes as well.
You can find me at Oliver Speaks with the number one. And that's on most of my platforms. So I only have X, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube right now. I just started Cameo. So if people want to go and, you know, just like, I just ordered a Cameo for my third grade cast and I want Oliver to read, you know,
a book
to my class. Then I can read a book to the class and boom, that's for your class. So yeah. So if people want to try that out, that'd be really cool. Yeah. Yeah.
And you are a motivational speaker. So if anyone is listening who would want to hire Oliver to speak at an event, an organization, a school. I don't know what other types of speaking engagements you take, but
prisons. I mean, I do, you know, there's prisons, there's gonna be juveniles. Like we got to get in there and, you know, them kids can't read. Those people can't read. So yeah, we're gonna get in there and I've been to prison. So it's been, I need to go back and tell them like, listen,
Yeah.
This is something you can do to help you when you get out. So yeah, there's going to be different, many options, whatever it is. But anywhere where people are struggling in that realm, reading and not being able to get through, we're going to come there and try to talk to them about this is an option. Mm-hmm. Reading is an option. It's not mm-hmm. like just something you could do. It's an option. It's actually like a good year option that can get you from point A to point B and live that. Not like you just, I got this and I'm just doing it. No, you will be able to do it on your own. You will be able to function in society on your own. But we got to do some hard work. That's all it is.
I mean, I feel pumped up, ready to take on the day. Everyone go hire Oliver. Go find him. Follow. Again, thanks. This is fun. Let's be friends forever. And come back on. Share your stuff. Have lots more opportunities to chat. But I just really appreciate you being here.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, ADHDer, I see you. I know exactly what it's like to feel lost, confused, frustrated, and like no one out there really understands the way that your brain works. That's why I created Focused. Focused is my monthly coaching program where I lead you through a step-by-step process of understanding yourself, feeling better, and creating the life that you know you're meant for. You'll study, be coached, grow, and make amazing changes alongside of other educated professional adults with ADHD from all over the world. Visit ihaveadhd.com/focused to learn more.